prayers of the faculty and student body, I requested for the family of Nathaniel Krause, whom the Lord called home to be with him on January 1st. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you have invited those who labor and are heavy laden to come to you for rest. We pray, fold these beloved servants of yours to your bosom and comfort them in their bereavement. Pour into their wounds the balm of your love, so that they may find sweet relief in your tender mercies. Grant comfort to all the family of the deceased. Help us all so to number our days that we repent of our sins and constantly seek the forgiveness that is to be found in you. We ask it for your mercy's sake. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Today the Holy Spirit directs our attention to the 14th chapter of the book of Job, beginning in verse 1. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Dear friends in Christ, it was the poet John Donne who said, "Send not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." His point was simple, of course, that death comes to every human being. It's no use sighing in relief when you hear of the passing of someone else, because it will soon be your turn. At first glance, it may seem that the Bible passage I read to you a moment ago is saying little more than that. That it's a sad lament on the brevity of human life and the inevitability of death. But it is more than that. And when all the rest of the promises of Scripture are added to it, we see that the lot of the Christian is far different than that of the unbeliever who has no hope. We were reminded of that a week ago when the Lord took to himself Nathaniel Krause, a former student at Emmanuel, a friend of many of you here today. That's why our theme for this morning is borrowed from the title of a favorite Lutheran hymn, "Brief Life is Here Our Portion." Because of sin, life is short and full of trouble. But because of Christ, a life of eternal joy awaits us. Albert Einstein said that space and time are relative. I guess I don't know much about space, but time certainly seems to be relative. When you're a child, it seems like time is just crawling by. And by the time you reach adulthood, it flies. Those of us who have reached middle age are starting to think about just how quickly our lives have passed to this point and how very quickly they will be over. It's true. Brief life is here our portion. Job says essentially the same thing. Man who is born of woman is a few days. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. How brief is man's life? As brief as a flitting shadow, as brief as the bloom of a flower. Some lives, of course, are briefer than others, as was Nathaniel's. Some blooms last a shorter time than do others. There's a plant of the cactus family called Peneocereus greggii, or night-blooming cereus. This cactus is famous for having the shortest blooming period of any plant in the world. It blooms only for one night during the summer, and when morning has arrived, the flower will be withered and faded. What a perfect picture of the transitory nature of human youth and beauty. Billions of dollars are spent annually in the attempt to retain a bit of that bloom of youth. Alas, all in vain. For time marches on, the grass withers, and the flower fades. Not only is man a few days, says Job, but those days are full of trouble. And of course, that's just the opposite of what people want, isn't it? We'd like our days to be long and free of trouble. Instead, they are short and full of trouble. Why should that be? Shouldn't be, really. God didn't create human life to be short and full of trouble. God created Adam and Eve to be perfect and to live lives that were long and wonderful, lives of service to God and their fellow creatures. He created Adam and Eve holy and righteous. But Satan came with his temptation, and sin entered. Paul tells us that through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Brief life is here our portion. And it's true that because of sin, life is short and full of trouble. But even in the midst of this veil of tears, there is hope. Because of Christ, a life of eternal joy awaits us. Job asked, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" No one. And he's right, as far as it goes. Human beings beget human beings. Sinful fathers and mothers beget sinful sons and daughters, who in turn become sinful fathers and mothers. But Job's blanket statement isn't quite true, is it? There was one exception, and 2 weeks ago we celebrated the arrival on earth of that divine exception. From a flawed human mother came the flawless child of Bethlehem. This child would offer to the world a different kind of life, a life that goes on forever, a life that is wonderful and contains no tears. And that's another sense, isn't it, in which God is able to take the clean from the unclean. For in Christ, God is able to take wretched, unclean sinners like you and me and turn us by faith into His clean and holy children. He does it by the power of His holy word, the word that goes into your ears and takes root in your heart. The Holy Spirit causes you to trust that word, to trust against all appearances that Christ does have pardon and forgiveness, even for a wretched sinner like you. In fact, when you think about it, our Lord has taken this complaint of Job and turned it right on its head, hasn't He? In this sinful world, man is corrupt and defiled. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. But Christ has earned for you a place in another world where your inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Job said, "Man's days are determined. The number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass." And this, too, is absolutely true. It is God who sets the limits of our lives, not we ourselves. And one of the things I've always appreciated about a Christian funeral service is that it reminds us that God has assigned to each of us a number. And that number is very precise. Nathaniel's number was 21 years, 10 months, and 5 days. Not 4 days, and not 6. There's an exact number like that for me. And there's one for each one of you as well. But even to this, even to the absolute certainty of death, Christ has made an exception. If you trust in Christ, you can pass those limits. Despite all his suffering, Job knew this too, down deep in his heart. For it's 5 chapters later in the book of Job that we hear him utter those immortal words of faith and hope. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And I guess that's the whole point, isn't it? Brief life is here, our portion. Here. But not there. How we yearn for the life that's been promised us for Christ. The life that will last forever. Our friend Nathaniel is already enjoying that life, and we will enjoy a blessed reunion with him and all who have preceded us in the Lord. May our Lord Jesus hasten that day. Amen. We conclude with hymn 448, the first and the last stanzas.